Well, hello, friends, and welcome to another good morning. I pray that you are up and having an amazing day so far. And as we always say, if not, that's what we're here for, to help you get started in the Word of God, to help you feel inspired and strengthened and be all that God has called you and designed you to be. So it is Friday. Hopefully you have an amazing weekend planned. I know with all the 4th of July celebrations and everything going on with that, you are not going to want to miss Hope City Church this weekend. Jen Buer is bringing the word this weekend, and man, she always does such a phenomenal job with bringing the word and speaking right from the heart of God, a message that is impactful and we can map out in our everyday lives. So don't miss church this weekend. We celebrate our nation and we do fireworks and all of that stuff. Let's be in the house of God. So we hope to see you this Sunday at 10 a.m. Well, yesterday we begin to look at giants and what they can mean in our lives, or really more than giants, but adversaries. Things are set up almost in front of us. What does that mean? What does that look like? What would discovering is that often when God opens a door for us, it doesn't mean easy access. It means an open door means opportunity, but we have to contend for access to walk through that door. So I'm going to continue on that today, and hopefully you leave this broadcast inspired. But I want to remind you, if you are watching on a platform that you can like, comment, and share, please do that. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe. Let us know that you're watching. We'd love to know where you're watching from and that you're with us. It just helps build our faith and let our online community know that we are all here together. And of course, welcome to all of our friends who are watching live online on the Pioneer channel, which is literally going around the world spreading this glorious gospel. So good to be as well. And as a reminder, if you need prayer, we always have prayer partners standing by ready to pray with you. Just simply text the word prayer to 717-500-3575, and they will stand with you and agree with whatever need that you have. Amen? All right. Well, I want to open up with a verse of scripture today found in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And listen to this. It says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." As they are today. So for what the enemy meant for evil, God means it for good. He will bring it about. I love that it says that many people should be kept alive, that not only will it impact me, but it will also impact many people. And here's kind of the big idea of what we're looking at today is that adversity doesn't just confirm your assignment. It prepares you for it. We've been saying that is that when you face adversity, it's often not a sign that you're doing something wrong, but a sign that you're doing something right. It doesn't just confirm that there's an open door, right? But our adversaries actually prepare us for the open door. Let me submit this to you. What if you are being trained in the fire and elevated through the battle? What if all of this was a divine setup for you to be trained and elevated right there in the middle of the battle? Listen, God often uses enemies as trainers and trials as elevator. Listen, we've been saying this, but in the kingdom, you don't get promoted by comfort. Comfort is not the currency of the kingdom of God. You get promoted by perseverance. You get promoted by standing your ground. You get promoted by staying in the battle. Let me give you a few thoughts today to help you navigate adversity and the challenges of life and help us face the battles head on. Number one, adversity is not an obstacle. adversity is a training ground. You don't get authority without experience. Oh, man. You don't get authority without experience. You don't become battle-tested by simply quoting scripture. You become it by living through it. Come on, I love this. We don't become battle-tested because we know some scriptures or we can quote some things. We become battle-tested because we lived through it, because we fought through it. We stood our ground. We persevered. We didn't give up. We didn't quit. We kept fighting. I mentioned to you last week about how Jesus, it says, was full of the Spirit, led out into the wilderness to be tempted of the adversary. But it says he returned in the power of the Spirit after the wilderness. He was full of the Spirit when he went in, right? But he returned full of the power of the Spirit after the wilderness. Listen, the fire doesn't destroy you. The fire is designed to develop you. I know we want shortcuts to breakthroughs. I know that we just want instant gratification in our life, right? I know we just want to be like going through the McDonald's drive-thru and say, here's what I want. Make it my way. I guess that's Burger King, you know, and, you know, expect it to be here in 2.3 seconds. If not, I'm irritated. But listen, that's not how growth happens. You don't become strong because you have a gym membership. If that was true, I would be the most physically fit person on the planet. But just owning a gym membership doesn't make you strong. Being a Christian doesn't make you develop. Quoting some scriptures doesn't make you develop. Spiritual muscles, just like in the physical gym, don't come from memberships. They come by being built. And here's the one thing that's true and true and true: by resisting. Muscles are developed by resistance. Spiritual muscles, unfortunately, are only ever developed by resistance. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that that very trial, that very adversary, that very thing that just seems overwhelming to you, seems like you can never get through, seems like a giant standing at the doorway of your breakthrough, could be the very thing that God is using to develop and grow your muscles. Why? Because it's that resistance that causes you to press in faith, that causes you to lean in your faith fight, that causes you to stand firm, right? When all we've done all else, what do? We stand firm, we contend, we keep leaning in. And it's in that pressing that muscles are developed. Gosh, I wish that we could just sign a paper and get a membership and it would all just happen for us, right? But I'm saying to you, what if your trials weren't designed to break you, but they were designed to build your stamina? That's why, listen, that's why the scripture says to us in James 1, 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What is he saying? That's why when you see a trial, we celebrate, we rejoice. Not that the trial is here, but that we know the end of this, I'm going to be stronger, I'm going to be better, I'm going to have more faith, I'm going to have more character, I'm going to be developed, I'm going to be stronger coming out of it than I was when I went into it. It's not that, again, I'm just going to pray a little prayer and everything's going to go away and I'm going to be riding on easy. I know how the end of it comes out. I know we win. But if it hasn't turned around yet, the affliction hasn't left yet, if the breakthrough hasn't happened yet, then I just have to rejoice because it means God is growing and developing me. It means that God is strengthening my spiritual muscles. Listen, here's your second point for today. Your battle produces your authority. Your battle produces your authority. Listen, you can't walk in domination over what you never defeat. God allows us to experience sometimes battles and giants so that we can speak to others with power. Now, listen, I'm not saying that the trial, that it's all God sent, that if, you know, cancer shows up in your world, well, then God developed and sent it to you. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the character and nature of God. I'm saying is you're coming out of it because it's a curse of the enemy. But I'm saying is just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow their knee and were thrown into the fiery furnace, they came out the other side, not even with the scent of smoke on them. That's how God's going to deliver you out of the affliction. But what I am saying is that process before they got into the fire, when the temptation was strong to bow, the temptation was strong to give up and quit and back down, and they refused. What was happening is they were growing stronger on the inside. Their deliverance was coming, but before it arrived, it was growing their dependence and their faith and their confidence in God. And now they had an authority coming out of the other side of that to speak to people and say, listen, when the enemy's coming in and he's telling you to bow and he's telling you to quit, I've been there. And I'm here to testify to you, don't back up, don't quit. Why? Because God's going to bring you out. I've been there. Just like David didn't show up to kill Goliath, he first fought the lion and the bear in the secret place. And that began to strengthen him. He had confidence in where he had been, and it gave him confidence for where he was going. Listen, private victories precede public promotion always. Maybe you're fighting a battle right now that nobody knows about. It's not a public one, but it's a private one. Listen, it's those private ones that precede public promotion. We talk about the cost of the anointing. We understand that the anointing is not free. The anointing comes on the back of holiness and the back of sacrifice and the back of saying no when everyone else is saying yes, because we won't play in the things of the world, but we'll come out from the world and be separate from the world. There's a cost to the anointing, and the anointing manifests because of the cost that is paid in the secret place. And it's often those secret battles and those secret times that we're fighting and we're contending and we're praying that nobody else sees. Everybody wants the public promotion. Everybody wants the public anointing. Everybody wants the public platform. But come on, it comes on the back of those private battles that are fought, that are contended, and that are won without anybody else ever knowing and seeing. David wasn't promoted just because he showed up and killed Goliath. He first fought a lion when nobody was watching. He first protected the sheep from a bear when nobody else was watching. I mean, he could have just sat back and let the lion and the bear attack and said, well, nothing I could do about it. It is what it is. But no, he fought in the secret, and then God elevated him in public. What if your scars are meant to become your sermon? What if your wounds are meant to become your weapons? What if your story becomes your strength? Again, I'm not saying that we're running out looking for the fight. I'm saying is that when stuff shows up, I'm saying let's not look at an adversary in our life and throw our hands up in fear and run and say, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know why this is happening. I'm living in fear and I'm feeling defeated. I'm saying let's look at that thing face to face and say, come on, God has brought me here to defeat this giant, to defeat this adversary, to pursue, overtake, and recover all. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing down. If it takes me 40 days to fight this adversary, then I know I'm just developing in my strength and my perseverance and in my patience. And I know I'm going to be better and stronger coming out of the other side of this thing. This thing will not defeat you. This thing will not take you. This thing will not win if you rise up in the faith that God has given you to defeat the giant that stands in front of you. And then God will use that very thing that threatened to overtake you to be the very testimony that you use to set other people free. Your battle produces your authority. I have authority over what I have victory over. What if this battle, this thing is going to be the very platform that God uses to set people? Number three today, God uses the enemy to move you into position. To move you into position. As we read in the beginning in Genesis, where it says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph didn't land in Pharaoh's palace by promotion. Think about this for a minute. He didn't land in Pharaoh's palace by promotion. He got there by betrayal, false accusation, and in prison. Come on. If we had to write a roadmap of how we were going to go from the pit to the palace, it would be, well, the favor of God just opened a door and I just walked into it. Come on, that's not what happened in Joseph's life. His brothers betrayed him, threw him in a pit, lied to his father and said that he was dead, sold him into slavery. He got elevated a little bit and then was falsely accused and imprisoned for something he did not do. And it was through that journey that God opened the door for him to be in the palace. The enemy thought he was destroying Joseph. But all God was doing was transporting him right where needed to be for the open door that was to come. Listen, I've heard this said years ago, but sometimes rejection is God getting you where you go. We look at rejection and the fact that they cut us off or the assignment ended or the job didn't work out or the finances dried up. We look at that and say, oh no, why did this happen? Why me? Poor me. And God says, listen, that's all a part of me directing you where you need to go. Like you look at the prophet Elijah who was being fed supernaturally by ravens and water coming and, you know, there's a drought in the land, but he has supernatural provision until the day the provision dried up. And he said, well, what's going on here, God? And God said, I've sent you to a widow woman because I'm going to perform a miracle for her. He goes to this widow woman and she, you know, if you know the story, she bakes him a cake and supernaturally God provides for her and it's enough, you know, obviously more than enough for her. So it provides for her community. And it brings a breakthrough right in the middle of a drought. But the prophet of Elijah, man, come on, he's been fed supernaturally, but then the provision dries up. Why? Because God was about to do something significant. He was about to move the provision just from Elijah to now a widow woman, her family, and her community. So the drying up of the provision wasn't the anger of God being released on Elijah, wasn't, you know, he no longer was favored and God's mad at him. No, now this was the provision of God causing where he was at to dry up, to move him where he needed to be. So sometimes you're saying, well, God, why did the layoff come? Why did the friendship walk out of my life? You know, why don't I get invited to that anymore? Why does it seem like, you know, there's a tide shifting here against me? What's happening, God? Often, it's not that we're being rejected, it's that we are being directed. Listen, I've said this time and time again, but if it's being removed from your life, it means God looked at it and said, you no longer need it for your assignment. If he removed it from your life, it means he looked at it and determined you did not need it to fulfill your assignment. Therefore, he took it out of your life because it wasn't essential to do what he's called you. Maybe the job didn't work out because God is opening a door somewhere else. Maybe he cut you out of the friend group because he heard conversations that the friends were having that you never heard and said, you know what? They're too precious to be involved in that mess, and took you out. So I just submit to you today is, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that it's always easy or it's always nice or it's always convenient. What I'm saying to you today is, if there's an adversary at the door, rejoice. I'm saying if there's rejection at the door, rejoice. Why? Because God is still in control, and God uses the enemy often to move us into positions where he's about to use us in the next season. Sometimes what the devil is doing to you is actually moving you into your next assignment. Come on, Joseph's brother sold him, but God used it to elevate him. Potiphar's wife lied about him, but it pushed him toward his purpose. You know what he did through it all? You know what his focus was? Not getting vengeance, not, you know, it would have been easier for him, listen, to give in to Potiphar's wife, sacrifice his integrity, but she wouldn't have lied about him. He wouldn't have been in prison. And he could say, but hey, at least I got to stay in the palace. That was a part of the vision. No, his focus was maintain my integrity. God's in control. I know this looks like the easy way out, but if I maintain my integrity, I keep my heart pure, I resist gossip, I resist backbiting, I resist the pressure to give in, I maintain my integrity. Listen, that's when you're tested, that's when you're tried, and that's when God says, look, they have maintained their integrity. Again, often what the enemy is using against you, God will say, I use that very thing to propel forward. Brings me to my next point. You grow in the gap between the promise and the platform. Psalms 105:17 says this, until that time his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Until the time that the word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Listen, Joseph had a dream, but he had to be tested before he was to be trusted. Here's what, again, now I'm not saying that God brings the adversary. I'm not one of those preachers. I don't believe that anything that comes into your life is God sent. I don't believe that. But I believe God will use whatever comes into your life. And he will often use adversity to refine your heart, to strengthen your trust, to position your character. Because see, so many times we get caught up on gifting, but gifting, listen, you can have the gifting, but not get the grace to carry the weight of the destiny. That's why there's so many people in the house of God. There are so many gifted people, but very few people who have the grace to carry the weight of that gifting into fulfillment of destiny. They have the dream, they have the assignment, they have the anointing, but they don't have the grace. Why? Because when adversaries rise up on their door, like Joseph, he maintained his integrity. They try to take the easy way out. They try to make the shortcut. They try to see how close to the world or how close to sin they can get. They have a gifting, but they don't have the grace. What we can do is we can look at the adversary and say, Lord, refine my heart in me. Strengthen my trust in you. Position and develop my character. Let me be stronger because muscles are grown by resistance. Let me be stronger after this. Let me be better after this. What is the enemy going to do if every time he attacks your life, you come out the other side stronger? Like you thought you had faith before, but that last thing you walked through, man, you came out the other side believing and stronger and more built up in your spiritual faith than you could ever have imagined. What's the enemy going to do when you go from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory? And every roadblock he sets in front of you, you use as a stepping stone to move forward in the promises of God. Everything he uses to trip you up, God looks at it and says, because you didn't give up and you didn't quit and you didn't back down, it's refined and developed your character. Come on. So your enemy is actually your elevator. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Affliction has a purpose. The enemy thought the pit would bury you, but it only planted you. Like a seed, he thought you were buried, dead, and gone. Like Jesus thrown into the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They thought he was dead and gone and buried in the ground, but he was just a seed put into the earth that would sprout and come back to life 3 days later and bring with him a harvest of souls. Come on. So the enemy thought he would bury you in a pit, but it didn't work. It only planted you and caused you to grow bigger than you were before. Your enemies don't get your final say. God will turn their attack into your ascension. That's why he says, rejoice, brothers, rejoice, sisters, when the enemy comes against you. So I ask you today, you look back at the scope of your life, where you've been and what you've come through. You will often find that it was those hard, difficult trials that shaped you into the man or woman of God that you are today. What adversary has shaped you? What battles have produced spiritual weight in your life? Like I was talking, describing somebody, a friend of mine, to somebody else, and I said, they're just a weighty person, and not weight in physical weight, but in the spirit. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I'm struggling to put words to it, but I said that. I said, you can tell they've just been through some stuff in their world. They've walked through some stuff, and there's a weight to them spiritually. They're not just spouting off one-liners and things like, you can tell there's a spiritual weight to them. And I love to be around them because it's like everything that's coming out of them, you know, it came out of struggle and they know what they're talking about and they've been there and they've pressed through and they have a grit about them. They don't mess around and play. There's a weightiness to them. Battles produce that. What I am now is a result of what I fought through before. And what I will be a result of what I fight through today. Listen, even in my life, what the enemy threw at me, he didn't win, but God worked it for good, even when I couldn't see. So I pray today that you see and you know that the adversary and the attack is training you for victory, and every enemy is elevating. That you wouldn't curse the fire, but that you would grow in it. That you would understand today that what the enemy has meant for evil, God will use for your good. That you are being prepared for more power, tested for greater promotion, and developed for your destiny. I don't know what's in front of you right now. I don't know if it's Goliath. I don't know if it's a Ziglag situation. You know, I don't know if it's Saul pursuing you. I'm just naming stuff that David went through, different battles in his life. I don't know if it's saying goodbye to a Jonathan in your world. David went through some stuff, but it was all in preparation for what God was bringing. I'm saying is whatever's standing in front of you right now, I pray that you do not back up or quit. God will bring you through victoriously. You will come out the other side in victory, in faith, because that's his promise. But what I'm saying is if it didn't change today and you wake up tomorrow and it didn't turn around then and the victory didn't manifest the day after, then what you can do, because you can't force that, that's God's timing. Then you just have to say, well, then God, this thing is still here because he's growing me. The victory's already won. It's already coming. The promise is already given. It's going to happen. But what I got to do between now and then, I have to use this as an opportunity to grow my spiritual muscles, to grow in strength, to grow in valor, to grow in faith, to grow in integrity. And I'll make the devil pay for every time he's attacked or assaulted. I heard Pastor Rod Parsley say that one time. He said it was a Sunday afternoon and he had such a splitting headache and it wouldn't lift. And he said, I'll tell you what, devil, I'm going to make you pay. And when I walk into that evening Sunday night service, I'm going to lay hands and pray for healing for every person in the building. And I'll make you think twice next time before you want to give me a migraine headache. And sometimes that's how we got to respond. Like, you want to bring this assault? You watch, devil. You watch. I will come out stronger. You think this is going to get me? I'm going to be stronger in faith on the other side of it. I'll make you think twice before you set an adversary against me. Not of my own strength, but greater he that's in me than he that's in the world. So again, I hope this message has helped you and encouraged you. I'm just trying to help you reframe, if you will, some of the attacks and the burdens and the challenges that we face in life, and help you kind of just reshift your mind and put it into right perspective, that this thing, whatever it is, whatever's coming, and even if there's nothing today, whatever shows up down the road, that you approach it with the right perspective. You will win. You will have victory. And if victory doesn't manifest today, then that means today, stand in faith, growing your muscles, growing your character, growing in strength. And that God will use what the enemy set against for good. So count it all joy, brothers. Count it all joy, sisters, when these various trials come upon you. It's going to produce all that God has in his name. Amen and amen. Well, thanks for being on with me this Friday. Again, I pray you have an amazing weekend. Be in the house of the Lord. Drag your friends, drag your family, get to church. Let's worship God together. Amen. I'll see you back here on Monday morning for our Good Morning Live. Be blessed and have an amazing day. Bye-bye for now.